Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Let me get right to it. I have a lot of, I got some stuff to share with you today. But let me make sure that we start everything like we always do in prayer. So let me pray for us right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we've sung to you today as a form of worship. And Father, now as another form of worship, we bring to you our hearts. Father God, will you speak to us today? Holy Spirit, will you have your way in this place today? I'm praying right now that every heart that is here and every heart that will hear this message on a podcast or some other way will be prepared for the work that God wants to do in you today. So will you prepare your hearts? Will you get ready for the change that God wants to make in your life today? God never wants to leave us the same. So Holy Spirit, let us walk out of here different than when we came in today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we believe it. Amen. 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 Yeah, so good to be with y'all today. Let me start with this. What's the difference between those that live a fulfilled life and those that don't? Between someone who has good relationships and maybe someone who struggles in their relationships. Between those that have enough financially and so many that don't. It's not intelligence. There are many smart people who are miserable. It's not talent. There are tons of talented people that are broke. It's not appearance. There are plenty of attractive people that can't hold on to a healthy relationship. So what is it? What is it more than anything else that determines how your life is going to go? Comes down to one word. Decisions. One word, decisions. The quality of your decisions determines the quality of your life. The quality of your decisions will in large degree determine the quality of your life. Listen, I understand there are other factors. Some people start in life with more advantages. I get that. Some people are born with or develop physical problems and illnesses. Hey, I get all that. I'm not saying those things don't exist, and I'm not saying those things don't somehow impact the quality of someone's life. They certainly could. But at the end of the day, more than anything else, the decisions that you make are going to shape the life that you end up with. But here's the problem. Oftentimes, we're not great decision makers, are we? We eat more than we should. We buy things we can't afford. We say things that we regret. We do things that we never intended to do. And sometimes we hurt the people that we love the most. So why is it that we have such a hard time making good decisions? I want to share with you to start with today three reasons why we sometimes don't make great decisions. The first one is this. We're overwhelmed with choices. Did you know on the average day that you and I make about 30,000 decisions a day? Really? Yeah, think about it. From when am I going to get up? What am I going to wear today? What am I going to say in that meeting? What am I not going to say? What TV show am I going to watch tonight? Do I turn left or right at that stop sign? Should I change lanes now? Every one of those represents a decision. So you see how very quickly those decisions can add up. In the course of the day, the average it's determined that the average person makes about 30,000 decisions a day. Nonstop. All day long. Every single day. One behavioral scientist has proposed that when we make that many decisions, we can become what he calls decision fatigued. decision fatigue, because we're having to make all these decisions day after day. And when we get fatigued and when we get tired, the quality of our decisions can often be impacted. You see, as the volume of decisions increase, sometimes the quality of those decisions decreases. I'll say that again. As you get more and more decisions you have to make, that volume can fatigue you. And as you get tired, sometimes the quality of your decisions may very well go down. We come home, and because we're tired, we just binge eat junk food instead of eating a better quality meal. Anybody besides me do that? We browse on Amazon as a way to relax, and we end up buying things that we don't need or that we can't afford. Oh, am I preaching to somebody today? We send that text message with the mad face emoji when we really should have just put the phone down. You see, when we get tired and fatigued, sometimes it can impact our decisions. It can impact the quality of our decisions. Let me give you another reason why we sometimes struggle to make great decisions. We're afraid of making a wrong choice. Okay, you see, listen, we all want the right thing. We all want the best thing. We all want to be in God's will. God willing, I hope you do, right? We all want those things. We want to make the perfect decision for school, in our jobs, in our homes, in our relationships. We want to make the right, perfect decision. Here's the problem. There are no perfect decisions. You see, although making great decisions may in fact bring some really good things to our life, you give me any decision, I can show you a downside to it. In almost every case, whatever decision you make, we're hoping, God willing, we're making good decisions, great decisions. We're going to talk today about how to do that. But you make any decision, and there's a potential for a downside to that decision. Okay? And so what happens is, since we're not sure, we're not 100% confident that everything's going to go perfect, we end up making no decision at all. Now, you do understand, and that's called indecision, right? You understand that indecision is a decision. Right? You get that, right? Doing nothing is a decision. Right? You see, the purpose of our decisions is to help us make progress. That's the reason we make decisions, ideally, so we can make progress and so that we can move forward. Listen, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about moving forward. Now, sometimes moving forward means learning from our mistakes, right? And here's what I want you to remember about this. I would rather fail at doing something than be 100% perfect at doing nothing. Say again, I'd rather fail and learn some things by making the decision and putting a foot out there and moving forward than be 100% accurate at doing nothing. Okay? It's another reason why we sometimes have a hard time making decisions or even good decisions. And here's the third reason why I think we struggle sometimes. We let our emotions rule our decisions. This could be so many different things. For me, every sermon I write, believe me, is personal, okay? So it could, for me, it could be that Whataburger. I drive by and say, I deserve that Dr. Pepper shake. I'm just going to pull in there right now. I know it may not be good for me, but man, I don't care, right? Or maybe it's, your kids upset you, and instead of handling it with the appropriate grace that we're called to, our emotions say yell, right? Come on now, anybody besides me ever do that? We got some parents in the house. Or maybe you're having a conversation with somebody, but all of a sudden a disagreement comes up. And instead of listening, what do you do? What do I do sometimes? We let the emotion of anger get a hold of us, and we just blurt it out, walk away. Anybody ever done that before? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you take that new job. Man, this is personal for me. Maybe you take that job, but you didn't really do much research about it. I think it's just time for a change. That's what I said to myself. Wait, man, this is many years ago. One of the worst decisions I ever made. No, flat out. It looked great on paper. Like I was going to make more money, but I didn't take any time to get counsel from people. I didn't take any time to research the company, and everything looked good. Kind of like, you know, you rent that movie based on the trailer. Anybody ever done that? Man, the trailer, let's put this trailer on. Oh man, it looks great. Then you get to the movie. This thing stinks. Has anyone besides me ever experienced that? The movie trailer looked great. And I bought it, I rented it based on emotion. It looks good. Now we get into the movie. Not so good. So often, our decisions are based on emotions, aren't they? And those kind of decisions are often the most hurtful to us and to others in our lives. Let me encourage you right now, just on this point. Don't make decisions, especially permanent decisions, based on temporary emotions. Don't do that. Many times you will regret it. That job I took all those years ago, I had to endure that sucker for 6 years. It sucked. Okay? I don't know how else to say it. It was terrible. Every day I got up to work saying, do I have to go do this again? That's because I made a decision based on emotion. Be careful. But let me tell you why I'm really here today. I hope, it's my prayer, my hope, that we can learn today how to make every decision not based on emotions, not because we're overwhelmed with choices, and not because we're afraid of making the wrong choice. No, as followers of Jesus and with the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, I want us to learn how to make decisions based on one word. Principle. Principle. Let me show you what the definition of principle is. Principle is a fundamental truth that serves as the foundation. This is good. Serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior. Now, where can we find principles that we can actually utilize to make decisions on? Right here. You see, the very best foundational and fundamental truths are found in God's Word. This is the best place to find principles to base your decisions on. A few weeks back, Pastor Petey preached a beautiful sermon about building a firm foundation. Anybody here for that? He talked about building a firm foundation in Christ so that when the storms of life come, you got something to keep you upright. You got something to keep you going. In fact, in even learning how to thrive in those challenges. Well, today I want to challenge us to actually build the foundation for our decisions on the principles that we find in God's Word. That should be the foundation upon which we make every decision in life. Because that is the only way to consistently make great, God-honoring, people-loving, forward-looking decisions. That's the only way to do it. That's it. You can read all the self-help books you want. You can read all the pop psychology books you want. You can go listen to the, 58 podcasts that tell you, how to get rich and famous and build your life. And not a one of them is going to compare to this. None. With God's help, what we want to do is be able to determine a course of action before the moment of decision ever comes. That's what we're trying to do. Actually, it's called pre-deciding, right? I'm already going to have my response lined up for when decision X comes, I'm going to do Y. And you actually already have that here, right? You're not dependent upon the circumstance or fear or emotion to make that decision. I want to show you some great people in the Bible and just give you three quick examples. Some great people in Scripture who learned how to do this so that we can learn. And I can show you what I'm talking about. The first one is found in Daniel. But you remember Daniel, the lion's den, and Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, you remember that? Well, this is what Daniel said in chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel said, or the scripture says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine. You see, Daniel already made a pre-decision. Yeah, no matter what the king is trying to get me to eat, I ain't eating it. I'm going to rely upon the food that I'm getting from God and the food that I know is good for me. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Let's go to Ruth, chapter 1. For those of you, the story of Ruth, she was with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi was encouraging her, hey, just go live your life. Just go do your thing. And this is what Ruth said. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and my God, or your God will be my God. See, Ruth made up her mind. Didn't matter what Naomi said. Ruth said, no, this is what I'm doing. Was it going to be easy? If you go on and read Ruth's story, no, it wasn't easy. It was by far one of the hardest decisions she made, but she made it on a principle of honor. I'm going to honor my mother-in-law Naomi, and I'm not going to let the easy route get me detracted from doing the right thing. And third, let's look at a man named Joshua. Joshua took over for Moses. Okay, he had a lot of pressure on him, and this is what Joshua said. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, say this, but as for me and my house, we will serve who? The Lord. That's what despite all that was going around with Joshua, all these people were starting to serve other gods and do. Joshua said, no, I'm going to serve God. He predetermined, pre-decided. No matter what happens, I'm going to serve the Lord. Daniel, Ruth, Joshua. Three great examples of people who made great decisions based on principle. They didn't make those decisions on emotion. They didn't make those decisions because they were afraid. They didn't actually get caught up in the decision fatigue. Because I can tell you, Joshua had a lot going on when he said this. He was leading a nation of people. You don't think Joshua was busy? You don't think he had a lot of decisions to make? He did. Daniel relied on the principle of faithfulness to God by not giving into the culture that was trying to change him. Ruth demonstrated that principle of honor as she made up her mind to stay with Naomi and not leave her. And Joshua showed us the principle of loving God with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength when he chose to serve God even when others were not. Okay, Pastor, those are three great people in the Bible. How wonderful for them. What about me? How can you and I learn to use principles to make decisions? First of all, I'd say this. Whatever decision you want to make, it is in this book somewhere. There's some guidance in this book somewhere for you. Give me just about, I can't think of any decision you'd make in life that isn't covered here in some way, shape, or form. Let me give you three specific examples. How about our money? Let me give you some principles that we find in God's word about our money. And by the way, Jesus talked about money over 100 times. Do you think money is important? Absolutely, it's important. If Jesus talked about it 100 times, that tells me it's important. But let me give you some principles in the Bible that relate to our money. Malachi chapter 3 tells us that when we bring back to God our tithes and offerings, he opens the windows of heaven. Ezekiel chapter 44 says that we are to bring the first of everything to God, not the leftovers. James chapter 5 tells us that we are to pay others what we owe them. Proverbs 13:16 tells us that a wise man thinks ahead and plans for the future. Proverbs 14:23 tells us to be careful about being a co-signer. Anybody ever co-signed for somebody in life and it didn't go so good? Proverbs 21 warns us not to spend more than we make. Hey, can you see how learning these principles, applying these principles, can help you in your decision making? Could anybody use any of those things I just read when making financial decisions besides me? And do you see the variety within that? We talked about paying others, talked about saving, talked about not being a co-signer, talked about giving back to God first. I'm telling you, when you need to make a decision, the Bible is your very best place to go. The very best place. How about our relationships? Anybody here need help in your relationships or need to make decisions about your relationships? Yeah. Well, Matthew chapter 22, first of all, Jesus told us that the very most important relationship we have is with God. We are to love him above all else with our whole heart, might, mind, and strength. So when you get to a decision point about who you're going to love first, learn to love God first. Right? Well, I'm just saying because, come on, there's people out in this world loving themselves first, loving somebody else first. We're not loving God first. Well, it's got to start with him. Right? Matthew 22 tells us how to do that. Romans chapter 12 tells us that we should live in harmony with others and not be proud. Ooh, I wonder how many relationship issues would be fixed if we lived like that. James 3, in a similar vein, tells us that there is a harvest of righteousness when we make peace with others. Think about that. You yourself are going to experience a harvest, and righteousness is simply right standing with God. Doesn't mean you're perfect, doesn't mean you're all this. No, it just means you're in right. If you want to be in right standing with God, make peace with others. Can anybody use that principle in your life? The book of James also reminds us that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Oh, Lord Jesus, how many relationships would be helped if we followed that one principle? That one. Woo. Wow. Are you seeing how the Bible can help you make decisions? Wow. How about our health? Anybody concerned about your health? You know, the Bible has a lot to say about your health and your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that our bodies are actually a temple in which the Holy Spirit lives. Did you know that? This is actually a temple in which the Holy Spirit lives. Might that impact how you take care of your body? Maybe. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 reminds us that we are to take care of our body because it is actually sacred to God. That's what it says. Ephesians 5 tells us that we are to feed and care for our body. And Romans chapter 12 says that we should take our body and actually make it a living sacrifice as a form of spiritual worship. Could anybody use any of those principles as you think about your health, as you make decisions about how to care for your body? I don't know about you, but next time I'm driving by that Taco Bell and want that Burrito Supreme, I might need to think about some of these principles now. I might need to start putting some of that into practice. Come on now. Whew. Man, this is good because God's good. Because God's good. He gives us everything we need to live the life. There's another scripture here. It says, everything you need to live the life that God's called you to live is here. That's it. It's here. Wow. Now, although I've listed some specific areas where we make some decisions, remember that our decisions are not made in isolation. See, they're taking us somewhere. Our decisions help determine our direction, and our direction helps determine our destiny. Did you hear me? Your decisions help determine your destiny. Your life will move in the direction of your decisions. Now, let's talk about that word destiny for a minute. Listen, if you've accepted Jesus, I'm not talking about your eternal destiny. That's already set. Okay, once you accept Christ as your Savior, you begin living for Him, your eternal destiny is good. I mean, you're going to heaven. But the other decisions that you make here on earth can have a direct impact on the quality of your life. Am I talking to somebody today? Learning to make decisions based on principle is not easy. I get it. We do have fears that we need to overcome. We do have a lot of choices to deal with. We do have emotions that we have to process. Absolutely. It's not that those things don't exist. It's just that we can't continually make decisions from those places. We have to learn to make decisions from the place of principle. Learning to make decisions based on principle is not easy, as I've said. But I believe with God's help, we can learn to make decisions from that place of principle, from the greatest decision guide ever written. If we learn to make decisions from that, I believe that the quality of your life is going to go up exponentially. I actually don't even have to believe that. God actually already says it. So you can believe God on that. You don't actually have to take my word for it. Now, I want to share with you three steps that I would encourage you to take anytime you need to make a decision. Now, do you need to follow these three steps for all the 30,000 decisions? Probably that's a bit impractical. But these three steps I'm going to share with you, I'm going to encourage you to follow them when you need to make important decisions, right? Decisions about your relationship with God. Decisions about your relationship with other people. Decisions about your health. How to handle your money. Important, life-altering decisions. When you're making those kind of decisions, I want to encourage you to do three things. And they're not on your screen, so make sure you take these notes. It's important. This is a decision-making process. Number one, pray and ask God about the decision. Before you go to, you know, your best friend, before you go to your mom, before you go to your brother, before you go to anyone else, you go to God first. And you start talking to God about your decision, what you either need help with, or maybe you're thinking in a certain way and you're going to start asking God, show me the truth of this, right? You need to get God's input into your decisions first and foremost, not last. Come on now, how many of us, we start talking to our friend and we start talking to this and maybe I should go ahead and consult God. No, Consult God first. Let him start showing you truth. Let him start, because your friend ain't the Holy Spirit. As well-intentioned as your friend may be, they're only looking at their frame of reference, their point of view, their perspective on life, so to speak. Don't start with them. We're going to get to them in just a minute. But the first thing you need to do when you're making a decision is you need to consult God and let the Holy Spirit begin to show you the truth of things. Not what you think. You know, there's a... Do we have any scientists in here? Okay. Let me tell you something about a good scientist. A good scientist, when they're researching something, does not go into it with a preconceived idea. And the reason they don't do that is because if they have a preconceived idea about what the treatment's going to be or the cure or whatever, they're going to start skewing their thinking toward that. Be careful that you don't do that with God. Be careful that you don't go to God and say, well, this is the decision I want to make. Will you go ahead and bless it? That's backwards. And we do that. We want something so bad based on emotion, based on fear, based on all these other reasons that we make decisions, that we just want God to bless what we want to do. That's not the way God works. Oh, it's getting a little quiet right now. I'm sorry, friends, but I got to speak the truth, and I hope you hear it in love. But that's the truth. God is not here to bless your plans. You are here to accomplish His. Amen. Did you hear that? God is not here to bless your plans. You are here to accomplish His plans. And if those things happen to intersect, beautiful. That's what the deal is, right? You're going to God saying, what's your plan in this? What's your will in this? What's your thought about this, God? I'll tell you another fundamental truth. The purpose of prayer is not to get God to do what you want. The purpose of prayer is to let God get your mind right. Did you hear me? The purpose of prayer is to get your mind right, not to convince God about your case. Can you ask for things? Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. But I want you to understand the primary purpose of prayer is communication between you and the Father. And He has a lot more wisdom and knowledge than you do and than I do. So when you go to God in prayer, like the scientists, go in with an open mind, not a preconceived solution. Because the greatest scientists of the world are those that go in with an open mind, like, all right, let's see what the evidence shows us. Let's see what the research leads to. Same thing when you go to God with something, a decision. Let God lead you. Ask Him for that. James also said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. And it says He is freely willing to give it to you. That's what he says. That's another principle that you'll find in God's word. If you lack wisdom, God will give it to you. You just have to go in asking with an open heart and an open mind. So number one, go to God. Get the Holy Spirit involved in your decision. Next, and I've told many of this in my small group with my Freedom Group guys, and I'll tell you the same thing. Whenever you want to make a decision, find out what the Bible has to say about it, right? If you want to understand how to invest your money, or if you want to understand how to handle your money, do some Google searches. What does the Bible say about money? What does the Bible say about relationships? What does the Bible say about how to handle when I have an offense with somebody? It's there. But you cannot discover what you will not look at. You cannot decide, like the scientist again, if he doesn't go do the experiment, if he doesn't go do the research, he's not going to get the information. You need to do that. Find, when you may need a decision to be made, find out what God says about it in His Word. Research it. Search it out. Compare. I gave you, 5, 6, 7 different scriptures in money. I gave you 4 or 5 different ones in relationships. I gave you 5 or 6 in your health. They're all there. And what you'll find as you do that research, you'll find they start working together. See, God is not in opposition to Himself. His word fits together. Sometimes you need multiple sources in His word to start putting that puzzle together. See, we also have a lot of people, Christians especially, that want to take one verse of the Bible and build their entire doctrine on it. That's it. This one verse says, yeah, but what about the 6 others that say something else about that topic? How does that work together? And we're not going to be a one scripture church because that's not God. That's not Jesus. It says it's the entire counsel of God's word that we are to study and that we are to understand in our hearts. That's why it's important that you do some research on your own when you're making a decision. Lastly, now you can go seek some advice, but be careful about the person you're getting the advice from. Proverbs is clear. Good decisions generally are born in getting good advice from many, okay? But be careful about who your many is, okay? Get advice from people that you know are going to point you back to God's word and that are going to tell you the truth, whether you want to hear it or not. Woo-hoo. If you don't have somebody in your life right now, as my bride says, that can tell you you need a Tic Tac, you better find one. I need a Taco Bell buddy. I need somebody I can actually text and say, man, I really want to go get that burrito supreme right now, that I can text and they can say, oh, Pastor, I don't think you, are you sure you want to do that? I need me a Taco Bell buddy. You need someone that can speak truth into your life about relationships. You need someone that can help you with your money. People that are going to speak truth. Mentors. People that have, that are where you want to go. Right? I'm not asking some broke person for financial advice. It ain't going to happen. I might love them. I mean, I might get some other advice for them, but it ain't going to be about money. Right? Because they probably haven't applied these principles in their life, more than likely. I'm going to go to people, mentors, friends, people that are actually trying to apply principles in their life that I'm trying to learn from and will remind me to go back to what God says about it. Because he's the ultimate source. Because even your best well-intentioned friends ain't the Holy Spirit. They're not. But you can get wisdom from people. And the Bible is clear. That's a principle. It says we should get wisdom from people. Just make sure it's the right people. Right? So three steps. Next time, and from this day forward, I hope every time you need to make a decision. Go to God with it first. See what his word says. And then find some trusted people that you can talk through this with. If you will follow those three steps, I will guarantee you the quality of your decisions will go up exponentially. That is an absolute guarantee. Doesn't mean it's perfect, right? Because even the best decisions sometimes have a downside, right? There may be some unanticipated things that come up. Oh, I didn't see that coming. Okay, what are you going to do? You're going to learn from that, right? And then you're going to weave that into your next decision. Oh, yeah, last time I made a decision was good, but there is this side of it. So next time you would do something different, right? That is the process for making great decisions. Let me close by telling you what C.S. Lewis had to say. Great C.S. Lewis, theologian, one time an atheist, for those of you that don't know his story. This is what he said about our topic today. He said, every time you make a choice, yeah, Brandon, if you can come. Every time you make a choice, you are turning the central part of you, the part that chooses, into something a little different than it was before. And taking your life as a whole, with all of your innumerable decisions, you are slowly turning the central thing either into a heavenly creature or into a hellish creature by simply making the decisions that you make. There is a power in your decisions. Your decisions, in great degree, will determine the quality of your life. My friends, from this day forward, may all of our decisions be made with heaven in mind. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, today we come before you. God, we're so thankful for your goodness and for your grace and for your mercy. God, thank you for sending Jesus. And we are so grateful that Jesus made that decision to die on a cross for us, so that we could live a new life. Father, we know that in Christ our identity is secure. Our place in heaven is already set. But God, we need your help. We need your help here on earth to make better decisions. Decisions that move us forward. Decisions that bring you honor and glory. God, will you help us when we're tired? Will you be with us when we're afraid? And will you guide us when we want to make decisions out of our emotions? Help us not to make decisions from those places. Instead, Father, help us to make decisions from a place of principle. Your principles, God, your words of instruction. That's where we need our help to come from when we need to make the decisions of life. Help us, Holy Spirit, now and always to make decisions like that from this day forward. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, with every eye still closed, would you just keep praying with me right now? I believe there may be some people here today who have not yet made the most important decision that you will ever make in this life. And that's the decision to follow Jesus and to make him the Lord and the Savior of your life. If that's you today, and today is your day to make that life-giving and life-altering decision, I want to pray with you right now. Would you just pray this simple prayer with me? And listen, anybody who's already made that decision for Christ, would you just pray with us right now in support of anyone that's doing this for the first time? And also as a reminder, maybe you can think back to the day you first made that decision. When you first prayed this prayer, I want you to remember back to that day, and I want you to reconfirm and recommit your life to Christ today. Can we all just say this right now? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to wash me clean. Come into my heart, Lord. I make you the Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we just celebrate right now for anybody that made that decision?